The reading this evening is from Haggai, chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses, while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honoured, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What brought you home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labour of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the high priest, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the whole remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord.
Do you know that people today are just as spiritual as they've ever been? Okay, there are more atheists around the place, but atheists are just as spiritual as any other being. It's an instinct God's put into all people. We've all got a sense of worth, that we're important. We're made for a purpose. We've got a sense of right and wrong. Even the atheist believes there's a right and a wrong, particularly when someone steals from them. Now, interest in churches may be dwindling. Yet, still, that's in this country, still people want experiences. It is amazing to see how people are looking for an experience that's outside themselves. I don't know if you've been to a football match recently. It's a spiritual experience. Do you see Man U beating up Man City this afternoon? You should have seen the crowds. They were madly high. Some people look for this same experience in churches. That's what they're looking for. They're looking either for the emotional mystery in the quiet, reverent mystery of church, or an emotional frenzy. But actually, listening to and obeying God is at a very low ebb. There are pockets of hope, but generally the church in this land is in ruins compared to what it was. 100 years ago, it was very different. Now, this is why what Haggai wants to say to us is very relevant indeed. The date, August the 29th, 520 BC. Look at verse 1. It's translated. Haggai goes to see the top man in the country, David Cameron of his time, Zerubbabel. senior man, prime minister. Now, remember the situation. The Jews had been in exile for 70 years. Then in 538 BC, Cyrus gave a decree, and you can still actually see this in the British Museum if you've been there, that the Jews could return to Israel and rebuild Jerusalem. The city and the temple when they arrived was in ruins. 50,000 people, not many, joined this caravan back to Jerusalem under this man, Zerubbabel. Oh, they started building. There are two prophets at this time. This is the A-level stuff. There's Zechariah, next book, who's a visionary. He talks a lot about the coming Messiah. He talks a lot about God's suffering servant. In fact, he's the most quoted of the prophets concerning the passion of Jesus. Haggai, in fact, is overshadowed. But he's got a lot to say to us today. Now, what's his message? Have you got your Bible open there? Look at verse 2. These people say, the time has not yet come for the church of God to be built. You hear them say that? See, Haggai was concerned about the rebuilding of God's house. Now, as we've seen today, the temple of God is the people of God. This is why we're quite happy to use buildings like schools and things for church activities. It's the people that matter. Now, when the church is, as it should be, proclaiming the gospel and living as Jesus wants us to, then when we meet together, unbelievers will see that there's something going on. They'll recognize the presence of God living with us. Now, the temple of the Holy Spirit is in great need of serious restoration. Here in Britain, anyway. And in the States. Just as the temple was in ruins in Haggai's time. You see, it's so contemporary. Christians appear not to be bothered today. I was talking to a lady yesterday who said, oh, we're just continuing. They've got a few elderly people. Where's this passion for the rebuilding of God's temple? Now, Haggai's message is for all of us. But actually, that's not true. Just will you look down? It's not Haggai's message, is it? It's God's message to his people. Look at verse 1. The word of the Lord came through Haggai. Verse 3, that's just in case the readers fail to understand the verse 1. He puts it there again. And even stronger, go to verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. So, have you got it? Wake up. This message is for each one of us. It's for you. It's a wake-up call. Now, you can see it here in Haggai 1:5. Give careful thought to your ways. Think about it. 1:7. Same thing. Think about it. Where are you going? What are you doing? Actually, flick on 2:15. Give careful thought to this from this day on. Don't just think about it at Sunday at 6. Keep on thinking about it from this day on. Look at 2:18. It's remarkable. Haggai is so concerned. He doesn't want just a quick, oh, sorry. He wants a permanent change in God's people. I was at a newcomer's lunch and asked someone, what brought you to the church? Oh, they said, after I arrived in England from overseas, I went to the local church. The Bible wasn't taught. The services were dull. The ministers looked bored throughout the service. And no one talked to me afterwards. The place was almost empty, which is hardly surprising, is it? Now, a lot of us have had experiences something like that. We are so much like the people of God in Haggai's time. The temple of God is in ruins. In this land it is. Go to the north of England, it's dire. But we are more concerned about our lifestyles. It's outrageous. It's a very serious disease. Now, being a medic, let's just look at the symptoms of this disease. Their lives were very unsatisfying. It's very interesting. Nothing seemed to satisfy them. Have you seen? Look at verse 6. So much, harvest little, eat but never satisfied. They're not fulfilled. They drink but still thirsty, dress up, still cold. You know, it's as if, I've got it here. You know, the church collection comes around and you put your tithe in. As probably you know, most people in this church give through standing orders. But just imagine, we're putting a tithe into our arbor. And there you can see, you know, it all goes there. But then what happens is that it just disappears. And this is the same sort of business that's going on in everything this church got up to. This people. Nothing seemed to be working. Everything was going pear-shaped. They tried hard, but they weren't satisfied. You know that pop song in the 60s? Who said it? I ain't got no satisfaction. Who sang that? Stones. Mick Jagger, yeah. Dissatisfaction. Usually means, what does it mean for Christians if we're dissatisfied? Our relationship with the Lord is not right. There's something wrong if we're dissatisfied in where we're going. You know, we may have the right words, we can turn up at church, but, you know, that sparkle goes. A problem comes along and we're knocked off course. So, if you're finding, say, your quiet time, are you all having quiet times? If you're not, get some explore notes or other notes. But if you're finding it unsatisfying, there's no enthusiasm for talking about Jesus, telling others, inviting them. If it all becomes a bit of a drag. And when coming to the prayer meeting, oh boy, I prefer to be at home. Well, that's the time to give careful thought to your ways. Can you see it there? So, they're the symptoms. What about the diagnosis? Very simple. Wrong priorities. Look at verse 2. Not yet. The number of times I've heard people say, oh, we're not ready for this yet. We want to get our fellowship stronger first. And really what they're saying is verse 4. Me first. Now, a bit of the A-level stuff. The pre-exile, the prophets who gave their message before they went out into the exile, people like Amos, Hosea, Micah, Zephaniah, they tended to talk about social problems, violence going on. But the post-exile, when they came back from Babylon, like Haggai here and Zechariah, the next one, their emphasis was inertia, sluggishness, not getting on with the job. Do you remember the church in Laodicea in Revelation? That had gone tepid. They were complacent. They just existed. But it's lost its urgency in living for Jesus. And they're called to come back to Jesus. So here it is in Haggai's time. The church people were lukewarm. Where was their total devotion, their commitment to the Lord, satisfying his wishes? No wonder they're dissatisfied. No wonder everything seemed to go pear-shaped. There's no state so miserable as to be half-hearted in our devotion to the Lord Jesus. Now, some of you know, if you read the book of Ezra, he was one of the people who wrote just after the return. The first exiles, when they returned, had started well. But get to Ezra 4, and you see the problems started coming. Opposition. And for a while, they fought against the opponents. But by now, by Haggai, the fight had gone out. The temple was no longer their priority. Do you remember what Peter wrote to the stumbling early church? It's one of these famous verses, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare the wonders, the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He's called us to do this. We've got a special task of building up God's temple. Hey, maybe you're not quite sure about being a Christian, but that's what God wants you to be. Someone who joins God's people to be God's representative. Now, believers, say as in verse 2. Look at verse 2. Now is not the time. Well, when is the time? You know, people say, well, at work, no one seems interested. So, frankly, I don't preach the subject. I don't invite them to Christianity Explore because it's not the right time. You heard it? You know, the politics at the hospital says, I'm not allowed to talk about Jesus, or at the school. It's not the right time. That's very much, in some people's, a false understanding of guidance. They say, oh, the Lord hasn't told me to yet. God hasn't told us to build his temple. You can't read this book without understanding this. This is our priority. This is why we've been called. Not told me yet. He hasn't read his Bible. We don't need another word from God. It's a travesty what's going on. The church is in ruins and Christian people are saying it isn't the right time. It's outrageous. Look, be under no illusions. That sort of language is only an excuse. The Lord sees through it. Look at verse 3. So, symptoms, diagnosis, treatment. This is very, very clear. Don't make your priority, don't make my priority, myself. Make pleasing the Lord Jesus my priority. There they were, living in luxury homes, paneled houses, spending the evenings watching TV. Their priorities are wrong. That the young people in the area need help, need leadership. It's all so easy, isn't it, to be concerned about my comfort, my career, my recreation. I don't think it's time. There's an evangelical church leader in South London. He said this. There's so little commitment from the congregation to come to church on Sunday mornings. They come and go when they want. They say they've no time to get involved. But they make time for leisure activities, holidays, sport, visiting family. The truth is, we always make time for what we want to do. If we haven't got time to build the church, it declares our hand. Our priorities, he says, are so often wrong. That's the message of Haggai. What's the answer? Just do what is right. Do it. Make it your priority. Look at verse 8. Haggai's answer. Build the house. It's hard work. It means time and planning. Why? That I, the Lord God, may be glorified. So, what resolution are we going to go away with? I would honestly urge everyone to have a time each day with the Lord, reading the Bible. Make it a discipline. Just do it. Get some explore notes. Invite others to come to the church. Don't wait until you think they're, you know, loosened up a bit. Invite them to Sunday at 6 or Christianity Explored or the youth group or somewhere. Just do it. Give. My daughter's church down in Dundonald in London, the minister suggested as a Christmas present, members might like to give just 1% of their salary to Christ's work. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the norm was 10%. When our priorities are wrong, the Lord won't bless our work, just as he could have done. Look at verse 9. Turned out to be so little. I blew away. Verse 10, I called for a drought. God is in charge of all these factors. He's in charge of our economy in England and Europe. God is in charge. What should we do? Now please look at verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and how many of the people? The whole remnant of the people, the 50,000 odd, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Isn't that lovely? Shall we pray? Lord, thank you so much for your word to us. Lord, we would pray that we'll never be complacent. Lord, keep us praying every day that you'll introduce us to people that we can point to yourself or invite to come to church or something else. But Lord, most of all, we pray that our walk with you will be very close, and that from now on, our priority will be to build up your temple, to be your people, to encourage those people who are flagging. Lord, to win people for Christ, please be with every one of us from this day on.